From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Oakland.
I'm from East Oakland.
I live on Belvedere Street, two blocks up from Haight.
I'm from the Sunset.
A foggy inner sunset.
I live in the Mish.
Coming up, don't just lean in. A local author says working parents can have it all if they go 50-50.
Really, 50-50 is about how can both moms and dads thrive, both at work and at home.
So today, we'll see how different sets of parents strike that balance. From a woman whose work is to take care of other people's kids.
Being a nanny is very flexible because I can be with my kids.
To the story of two dads raising a daughter.
I don't see it as a 50-50, I see it as a 100-100.
Yeah.
That's all on a 50-50 extended edition of Cross Currents. In the media, we hear a lot about what it takes to balance parenting and a career.
Which means we hear a lot about what women should do about it.
Well, a new article written by a woman in Atlantic Magazine called Why Women Still Can't Have It All is causing quite the debate.
Our culture is making it very difficult for most women to actually have work and family and the same career choices as men.
Can women have it all, and what does that mean?
I just think it's a question.
The so-called mommy wars flared up again last year when Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg published a book called Lean In. It encourages working women not to give up on their career goals just because they also want to have children.
And the fact is, these conversations are happening because the numbers still aren't adding up. Women are outperforming men academically, and yet they're still just a fraction of the people making decisions at the top.
Well, what if figuring this out weren't just up to women?
50-50 is the mindset that both parents are important as breadwinners and important as parents.
That's Joanna Strober. She's co-author of Getting to 50-50, How Working Parents Can Have It All by Sharing It All. She and her co-author Sharon Mears are both working parents in the Bay Area, and they set out to write a guide for couples on how to share the work of parenting while prioritizing both of their careers.
They surveyed more than 1,000 working mothers, and their research shows the benefits of engaged dads and working moms. And we should note, this book focuses on straight couples.
Strober joined our colleague Hannah Baba in the studio to talk about what inspired her to write a book like this.
I grew up with a mom who stayed at home and in a very traditional relationship. And then I went to law school and I started working at a law firm that had only one woman partner. And everyone talked about the fact that she was working as she went into labor and how scary it was. And so I didn't have role models. I didn't have examples of women who were successfully working and raising kids. And so without those role models, you're very scared of how you're going to do it. And so what we're trying to do is show that there's lots of role models. There's lots and lots of people who are successfully doing this in different ways. But the key to this was to marry the right person. And if you didn't marry the right person, to still be able to negotiate with them.
So let's start there. Let's start at marriage. In this interview, you said that one of the biggest career decisions you'll ever make is who you marry.
Yes.
What does that mean? Does that mean pragmatism over love? Or where are emotions then left?
So I definitely dated men in my 20s who prioritized their career dramatically over mine. And I can see that if I had married them, I don't know how I would have necessarily had a career. And they were great guys, and it had nothing to do with whether they were good guys, but they were very focused on themselves, and my role was going to be to make their career more successful for them.
And you thought about that at that time?
No, I wasn't so clever as to think about it at that time. My co-author, Sharon, did. The difference is that she grew up in a family where her parents got divorced, so she was much more concerned about these issues before she got married, because she had seen what happens when people don't discuss these issues.
But then she married a conservative guy.
She
right?
did. And she
like but, on but the first he, date, what did he say?
Yeah, in the first date he said he thought that women should stay home with their kids. But, you know, I think the truth is men want their wives to be happy. They really do want them to be happy. And I think what she showed is, look, I will be happiest if I have a career, and therefore our marriage will be most successful if I have a career. And he bought that. He understood that. research definitely shows that women who have multiple roles in their life are happier. And for some people, that's not as important. And for other people, it's very important.
So in your book, you discuss men and women equally contributing financially to the household finances and to the home. And that means what? That means...
Doesn't mean equal. We don't say equally contribute in the terms of dollar amount. It's equally viewing their
place.
Their place as being able to help support the family. So it's not about how much money. It's definitely not. It's about feeling fulfilled in your job and taking your job seriously.
Hmm. And so which of those do you think is more difficult and needs more work? The home part or the breadwinner part?
Well, when moms feel like they are the only one who can do things at home, it gets much more difficult to go to work. If you think that the only way that your kids are going to be better off is if you cook them their food and you do the shopping and you take care of the parent-teacher conferences and you do everything, it gets very stressful to go to work. So we do think there has to be a mind shift both for men and women to bring men into the home. And if you do that, then it also makes it much easier for women to go to work.
How can that conversation start?
So let's talk about the importance of dads.
Mm-hmm.
The research actually shows that when men go to school 3 times a year, kids are better behaved and have better grades.
To the kids' school.
To the kids' school, yes. That dads being important is actually an incredibly so important that Sharon and I have started to call dads the swing factor. And so we want to get the dads into those decisions. Now, one thing that's really interesting is that we are seeing a big shift. As I mentioned earlier, Sharon and I talk every year at Stanford Business School. And it used to be that the class that we talk in, the work and family class, was maybe 80% women and 20% men. Now the class is about 50-50. And those men... they're really emotional about the fact that they don't want to be necessarily stuck in traditional roles. They want to have some freedom to take risks in their careers. They actually want to see their kids.
Hmm.
And if their wife doesn't work, they have no choice.
What does it do for the relationship between the husband and the wife?
Well, it definitely reduces divorce rate. It's definitely been shown that divorce rate is lower when both men and women are working. 50-50 is good economics. It is really good financially for families to have two working parents.
Okay. Can you give me an example of 50-50 and how it works in the home? What does that mean? What does 50-50 mean?
So may not sound so romantic, but, you know, get out a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be split down the middle, but maybe on Sunday night, sit down and say, okay, what's happening this week? What mornings do you have to get to work early? What mornings do I have to get to work early? What meals need to get cooked? Who's going to do what? And it doesn't have to be even. 50-50 is a mindset. It's not a question of splitting things evenly.
Can it be 60-40?
It can absolutely. Some years might be 60-40, right? You might decide that for one person's career, you're going to move someplace and you're going to say, okay, we're going to maximize this person's career for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But as an overall marriage, we're going to think about the next move is yours. Where do you want to go?
So do you think your guidelines and this whole idea works across cultural borders? We're a multicultural society. When I read it, I just felt like everybody in there was white, for example.
So we definitely interviewed people of color and Asian people and all sorts of different people for our book. It was definitely not all.
Okay.
It was definitely not all white people. We didn't identify them as such. But
right.
I can tell you that recently, we've had a number of Indian women and Chinese women come up to us after talks and say, look, you need to come talk to us in China. You need to come talk to us in India because it's really hard for us. Flip side of it is in Japan, the research shows that no one's getting married, right? Women are not interested in the traditional roles anymore, and the birth rates are going down dramatically. In Italy, women are not getting married. In France, I mean, they don't want to have kids, right? In many cultures, women are looking and saying, you know, if the traditional role is what I have to have once I get married and have children, I'm not interested. So I actually think it's a worldwide problem.
Wow. So is 50-50 for everyone?
You know, I don't want to say that anything is for everyone. If someone doesn't want to work and wants to stay home with their kids, that is great. My mom is a great example. My mother had a great marriage. She stayed home, and I think she could not be happier. And as her children, we couldn't be happier. So for her, it worked out great. For other people, it doesn't work out so great. And so you'll have to figure out for your own, for yourself, whether it's the right thing for you. And it's not my job to say whether people, what they should do. I just look at the research and I try to give examples of the different ways that you can be successful.
That's Joanna Strober, co-author of Getting to 50-50, How Working Parents Can Have It All by Sharing It All. She spoke with KALW's Hannah Baba. You can find more information about the book at kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Martina Castro.
And I'm Ben Trefney. Books like Lean In and Getting to 50-50 have been criticized for focusing on a very traditionally defined family. They speak to straight couples who are assumed to hold or to want professional jobs. But finding balance is a challenge in all families. Parents want to spend time with their kids, and most people have to work. We were curious about how some local families find that balance.
So first, let's meet Lupita Espinosa. She lives in San Francisco, and like any mom, she's chasing toddlers, wiping noses, pushing strollers, making grilled cheese sandwiches, but not just for her own kids. She's a professional nanny, so this is essentially her job description. KALW's Leela Day tells us how she makes her job work for her.
Lupita Espinosa can often be seen pushing a stroller up one of those steep San Francisco hills that many of us try to avoid. She can't avoid it, though. It's the way to work.
This job, really, like, I enjoy it. I like to bring the kids, and I help the kids with their development to understand and try to teach them something. And also, it's very flexible. Probably I'm very lucky that I have a very nice family, so they're always being very flexible with me.
She looks after two children at once, both three-year-olds, a girl and a boy. Today, she's taking them to Presida Park, near their house, to play in the sandbox. She's steadying a stroller with one hand, holding the girl's hand with the other. Lupita is the little girl's nanny. The little boy is her son, Orlando. She brings him along while she works. Since her own child is getting some of her attention, the girl's parents pay her less than they might otherwise.
For one child, regular is around 17. All depends your experience, but yeah, I'm 17 or 18, but I'm bringing my son. I get like a sharing. I start with $12, just because I bring my child.
Lupita works 5 hours a day, 25 hours a week. Her time off normally depends on when the family she's working for is going on vacation. Most days she finishes work around 1:30. Then she runs errands, cleans the house, and shuttles the kids to and from their activities. Each week they have ballet, piano classes, Chinese school, English tutoring, martial arts, and more. By around 5 p.m., she's usually home and pulling dinner together. Maybe fish or beans and rice. Tonight there's no time for cooking. So she asked her husband, her mom Matias, to grab some takeout. Her 13-year-old stepson is at his mom's house, so it's just her, her mom, and the two kids. That's Herman explaining to Orlando that it's tofu in his miso soup, not cheese. Herman works as an electrician, sometimes 60 hours a week.
In Mexico, the guy or the head of the family is always who provides, who protects. And I feel that way with my family because I protect them, I bring them the best I can. I try to have them live comfortably and many of all this stuff. I try them to have fun, to enjoy life, to, you know, vacations, all this stuff. And I still don't think that it disappoints me that way because I think I'm doing my best. And it's not good enough.
He won't stop her, but he actually would prefer Lupita didn't work at all. Lupita disagrees. She likes working, and once her son is older, she wants to work more. But she says that can't happen if she's responsible for all the housework, too.
Yeah, he works a lot, so he doesn't have a time to help me. I do everything for my kids, and I do everything is about my house, cleaning, do laundry, cooking. So I do all of myself. Sometimes I get tired. Obviously, I want to have a break.
Herman and Lupita are sitting side by side at the dinner table. They aren't looking at each other much as they talk about how things could be more even in their house.
I think we're doing good because we spend time with kids, spend time as a couple. We do activities together. We don't always agree on something, but, you know, that's life.
Of course, part of the reason Herman makes more money is that Lupita's deliberately chosen part-time work with flexible hours. She was a nurse when she lived in Mexico, but she says her priorities shifted when her kids were born.
Being a nanny is very flexible because I can find very easy a part-time, and I can be with my kids, but especially for my kids. If I didn't have a kid, I don't care. You know, I just go, and that's a matter if you're going to work full-time or not. But I'm thinking more about my kids for now because they're very young. They're very young.
After dinner, Lupita clears the plates from the table, washes the dishes, and throws the disposable chopsticks into the trash. It's 7 o'clock, almost time for the kids to go to bed. But she and her mom keep talking. And
it really gets me sometimes when I talk about it because...
You get mad.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
They try to work through these differences. They go to marriage counseling every few weeks, and they make sure to schedule a monthly date night. Maybe go dancing, see a movie or dinner. And with everything else going on in their house, it's just enough time.
I get really tired at work, and I have no energy to come home and help. But I was just thinking today, initially I meant to get you flowers, but I couldn't. I'll do my best.
Lupita looks at Herman now as if she's worried she hurt his feelings. She smiles and looks down.
But yeah, he tries, I guess.
After the dishes are put away, Lupita gives the kids a bath and tucks them in. Tomorrow, Herman will wake up early for work. Lupita will make breakfast and take their daughter Elsie to school. Then she and Orlando will make their way to the Bernal Heights neighborhood, where she's easy to spot, smiling often, calling the children mi amor and pushing a stroller up or down the hill. In San Francisco, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.
You're listening to an extended edition of Cross Currents. I'm Martina Castro.
And I'm Ben Trefney. Today we're talking about getting to 50-50 with our partners so that women and men can enjoy being parents and workers.
That's the topic of a book co-written by Joanna Strober. And she reminds us that it's not a question of splitting things evenly.
So it really is a mindset. It's not just about doing the day-to-day stuff, but it's a mindset that we're going to work to maximize both people's careers over a lifetime.
In this next piece, we visit a household where two parents have had to think in this long-term way, in part because one partner wasn't always able to work. Here's KALW's Jen Chien with that story.
Good morning.
Thank you.
I'm visiting Amos and Mickey Lim at the home where they live with their 6-year-old daughter, Alicia. She's already had her breakfast, and now she's feeding her orange cat, Liberty.
Daddy, I want to play with her for 1 minute.
Alicia calls Mickey Daddy. Amos is Papa.
Put your lunchbox in your bag first, please. Yeah. And make sure your homework's in your bag.
Yeah, where's your homework? Is your homework in your bag?
When Amos and Mickey met in 1995, they had no idea they'd someday have a daughter together. It didn't seem possible. They first connected online on a gay discussion group.
Somebody was talking about long-term relationships, how there's no such thing as long-term relationships, probably because we don't see the role models out there.
That was certainly true for Amos. He's from Singapore, a country where homosexual acts are still against the law. Mickey was living in Bakersfield at the time, and he'd thought about this a lot.
when I came out, I kind of had the idea initially that I would just be that bachelor, the uncle.
But over time, his views had changed.
I don't need to be self-restricting. I could do anything I want. So the question really then becomes is, do I want a long-term, lifelong relationship? Do I want to have a family? Do I want to have children? And I couldn't conceive of any reason not to, other than I hadn't met the right person to do it with yet.
So he wrote to Amos and shared his own experience. They started corresponding. Long emails turned into long phone calls, and a couple years later, Mickey went to visit Amos in Singapore.
And then we met and immediately realized, oh, well, we're in love.
Almost 20 years later, that love plays out in an everyday way in the home they've made together.
Here's your toothbrush. Yep, it's already ready.
The cat's been fed, and now Mickey's trying to get Alicia to brush her teeth, but it's not going so well.
That doesn't look like you're brushing your teeth.
Come on.
No, I'm not going to dance with you.
While this little drama plays out in the bathroom, Amos is in the kitchen washing the breakfast dishes. He says he and Mickey share responsibility for domestic duties. There's not a clear division.
I don't see it as a 50-50. I see it as a 100-100. You know, I'm reading the book and he's cleaning the kitchen. If he's reading the book, I'm doing something else, you know.
Back in the bathroom, the toothbrushing saga continues. Alicia's still not having it.
What happened?
Do you need me to do it?
Finally, Mickey gives in and does it for her. And before you know it, it's time to go to school.
Did you give Papa a kiss goodbye?
Mm-hmm.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Grab the handrail, go down the stairs and put your shoes on.
Who put the handrail?
Goodbye.
They head down to the front door as Amos waves from the top of the staircase. Mickey's going to drop Alicia off at school, then drive to his job as a pharmacist for the AIDS Healthcare Foundation. Amos is the volunteer director of a nonprofit, but he calls himself a stay-at-home dad. He'll pick up Alicia in the afternoon.
I think we both want to participate in the raising of our child. And yeah, it is 100% and 100%. Nobody gets any downtime here. It's all go.
I'm tired.
They share duties like this for a reason. When Amos first came to the U.S. in 1999, he had a series of temporary visas. His status was often uncertain.
And the fact of the matter is that if I get pink slip or if I get fired, I have 10 days to leave the country. And it's already stressful, the two of us just trying to maintain a relationship and stay in this country.
The instability affected how they ran their household. For example, because he came in on a student visa, Amos couldn't work for several years after he arrived.
That necessarily meant that I had to shoulder the financial burdens. So, but what we've done and what we continue to do now is that you contribute to the house, the family, that which you're capable of. No one thing is one person's job. It all has to get done.
Amos finally got his green card in 2006. He and Mickey then started the adoption process and were matched with Alicia through a foster-to-adopt program. She was 8 months old.
At the point in time, I was working full-time. We were fighting Proposition 8, but I had taken some time off. So
he took his month off, and then I took my month off.
Yeah.
When the economy tanked, Amos lost his job. Alicia was receiving therapy for developmental delay 6 hours a week, so they decided that Amos would stay home with her. Mickey, once again, would become the sole breadwinner.
Hello. Hi.
Around 6 o'clock, Mickey comes home from his day at the pharmacy. Amos is putting dinner out on the table.
Do you want me to cut it up?
Does it have cheese on it?
Amos does most of the cooking on the weekdays. Mickey takes over on the weekends. And they both work every night at getting Alicia to finish her food.
We like to move it, move it. We like to
move it. You don't move it at the table.
Nikki and Amos both say that the models of parenting and partnership that have been handed down to them don't always apply to their family.
We don't fit into the I'm the husband or you're the wife or this is what husband doing, this is wife do, because we do both.
But both men say they've felt the discomfort of not conforming to traditional expectations. Not only are they two men together, but they're the primary caretakers for a young girl.
Filling out the application to get her a Social Security card.
Yeah.
It's mother, father. All right. We're both fathers. So, and she said to me, well, pick one. All right. Since I took his name, I'll be the mother.
Amos says it can be challenging being the only dad in a room full of moms, like when he volunteers at Alicia's school. And there's the fact that he's an Asian man with a blue-eyed white child.
You go to a playground and it's time to leave, and she's like, no, I'm not leaving, and she's throwing a tantrum. You know, it's like, nope, we're leaving. We're going. You know, and people will like, take a second look and, you know. So I've got somebody come up to me and say, should I be worried? I'm like, no, you shouldn't be worried. She's my daughter.
Mickey says they've also been surprised by how some of their friends have reacted to their decision to raise a daughter.
I think that the straight couples with kids are actually more accepting or more shrugging of their shoulders of it than gay people.
Gay people without kids?
Gay people without kids.
What do you think that's about?
I think it goes back to, why are you going that road that is so what they have rebelled against? Again, not understanding that you can make it whatever you want. Not the life that you ran away from, but rather the life that you're walking and running toward.
Okay, you're sleepy.
Right now, these three are running toward the end of their day.
I'm gonna call Daddy, okay? Daddy!
Halfway into her second storybook, Alicia is fading. Mickey comes into the bedroom so that Daddy and Papa can tuck Alicia in together.
Good night.
I love you.
Good night, Daddy.
Eventually, these two fathers will get to sleep themselves, only to wake up tomorrow to do it all over again. For Cross Currents, I'm Jen Chien.
You're listening to an extended edition of Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney.
And I'm Martina Castro. So as we've discussed, much of the mainstream debate about juggling work and parenting focuses on women. But as we just heard, there are plenty of fathers out there who are striving for the same thing. I actually have one sitting right next to me.
Yep, I've got twin 11-year-olds. So there was no question that my wife Frances and I would need to share the responsibility of raising them.
So Ben, we asked you to take us into your routine by recording a typical day and reflecting on it. Let's take a listen to what a recent Tuesday was like for you. And it starts at 5:45 a.m.
All right, so the kids and Frances are going to need to leave at 7 in the morning. And so we have about an hour and 10 minutes so I can start getting together the other stuff for the kids here. Let's see. Last night, I got some black bean soaking for lunch today for the kids and Frances and me. And when Frances got up, she turned it on.
Frances has gotten up even earlier, like maybe 5:15 or something like that, to get herself ready to go and take a shower. She likes to have kind of long mornings. And she'll get those beans cooking, and then I immediately get some rice going so that we could have beans and rice for lunch. And then I get the coffee going. And then I get the tea going because I like to have a little green tea. So that's the stuff that I'm sure of. And I need to go, and we have a little like a cheat sheet, like an index card that tells us what the menu is for each day that the kids have for lunch Monday through Friday.
We've got granola bar, the smoothie, rice and beans and fruit.
So, you know, frozen fruit, I get that out, I get the yogurt out, I get the orange juice out.
Start out with the orange juice.
I throw all this stuff in the blender, I get that thing rolling.
When I've got a lot to do, it's almost like a challenge to see how efficient can I be. 6 a.m., time to wake up the kids. Good morning. Morning, Kyle.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Aaron. How you doing, Kyle?
Good.
Good. 6 o'clock.
So we'll all sit down and we'll, you know, sit with the paper if we've got that, and otherwise we'll just maybe stare into space.
Breakfast!
I usually get up from breakfast early because I know I got to get that beans and rice together. I'm like, oh, it's 6:45.
It's 6:59.
Just a big rush until 7. And then they get out the door, usually like actually like 7:10. And then I actually have a little bit of time to myself. I try to go surfing. I try to do that pretty much every morning if I can, once the kids get out the door. And that's like my alone time. I don't have to think about anything. And I do that for a little while, usually really not all that long, maybe like half an hour or something. Come back in, get myself ready to go, get all my stuff together, jump in the shower, you know, and then at 9 a.m., I have my earbuds on and plugged into my phone, and I have a conference call for work.
I'm heading out the door, so if you hear any like kind of like banging, it's my garage door and so forth. But Jeremy, you want to start us off into the digest?
And then I get on my bike and bike to work. It's an 8-mile ride, and usually for most of that ride, I'm leading a conference call with my colleagues, and that builds the exercise that I need into my work day. I mean, I got to get to work, but I'm definitely multitasking, and then my busy day is off and running. I definitely, when I became a father, I knew that I wanted to be a really involved parent, but it hasn't always stayed right up front in my mind. I don't think growing up I even had any concept of something like 50-50. I think that if it was like 20-80, maybe that was something that was, you know, fair or right or expected. I mean, you know, I was a kid in like the 70s and 80s, and my dad, he had a job. He kept him really busy. My mom made the meals. She took me to the things I needed to go to, and I don't know that they talked about that balance, but that was a different time, you know, definitely coming out of an era of like dads are working, you know, and moms are homemakers and that kind of thing. And my mom worked full time too. So it's like the transition was happening, but, you know, it wasn't really there yet. Now, my wife works full time and she takes care of a lot of stuff at home. And she will tell me if I'm not paying the attention that I could to the family. And there's times when I'm not, because I get caught up in other things.
But what about like Karen?
Well, I think it has to be cooked fish.
Tuesdays, that's the other thing. Like, you know, that day is busy from early until late because the next day's menu that has sushi on it. We decided we were going to make sushi for our kids. And so we make that the night before. We make that Tuesday night. So we make sushi rice and then we blend all that stuff together. But we do that together. And that's a nice little thing that Francis and I have.
Are you just going to roll yours without a roller?
Oh, psh, I always forget.
Then I'll just roll mine on the side.
No, we got two rollers.
We used to, you know, kind of measure a little bit more, I think, who was doing what, you know. And I think the 50-50 doesn't matter as much as long as we know we're doing what we can and we're communicating with each other.
Mom, I'm actually a lot farther than I thought in my Mandarin book.
I do think the more that I practice it, as long as I'm conscious of it, that, you know, I'm doing it pretty much the right way. But you know, I'm going to go home tonight after saying that, and it's all going to be all messed up because I'm going to have it all wrong, and I was just fooling myself.
So I should just do my shovel after astronomy? Yeah.
That was my co-host, Ben Trefney, sharing his thoughts on how to be a husband, a father, and a news editor at the same time. That was pretty inspiring, Ben.
Well, thanks. I mean, it's just necessary. So we've gone inside a few different households negotiating work and family life today. And now we'd like to hear from you. What's your advice for raising kids and having a career? What about for single parents? You can let us know on our tip line. It's 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. That wraps up today's edition of Cross Currents. The team includes David Boyer, Jeremy Dalmas, Chris Hoff, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Liz Pfeffer, Stephen Short, and Mary Willis.
Today's show is produced by Audrey Dilling and engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor.
Our senior producer is Martina Castro.
Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Holly Kernan is our news director. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. For Cross Currents, I'm Martina Castro.
And I'm Ben Trefney.